I'm sure there are some faces that look very familiar, but there are some faces that look new to me up here as well, so it's good to see all of these who have been willing to join the choir and give of their time and work with Madeline to be able to come and help us in our worship. And you can see there's still some few chairs up there, and we've got more if we need to put some out. So Madeline's always looking for more people to join her. Would you pray with me? Holy God, we pause in this time and in this place, seeking a word of wisdom and truth from you, seeking to be inspired, seeking to be challenged, but above all else, just seeking your presence. So in this time and place, may your spirit be upon us. And as your scriptures have been read and are now proclaimed, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So there's a man and his son who are driving. They're in a terrible car accident. The father is killed instantly. First responders arrive and the son is gravely injured. They extract him from the vehicle and he's airlifted to a nearby hospital. They rush him into surgery. And the surgeon comes in and looks down and says, "I can't operate on this boy. He's my son. How can this be?" Any of you heard this riddle before? Some of you? So what's the answer? The surgeon is a woman. How many of you would have had to wrestle with that for a couple minutes? Be honest. The series that we're beginning is a series on implicit bias, and we're going to talk a little bit about more of what that is, but Pat Heine brought it to my attention, and Krista Tippett, who has a program on being on NPR and a podcast, actually had a program last Sunday where she talked about this idea of implicit bias. And I'm going to get her name wrong if I don't pull it out and read it right here. Mahzarin Banaji is a professor at Harvard University and has been there for 30 years, and this is her area of expertise. And she shared that riddle as a part of her talk with Krista Tippett and said she often uses this when she does lectures. And she said she was giving a lecture recently and there was a woman in the audience and everybody's kind of throwing out all their possible ideas for the answer to this riddle. And when she finally said the surgeon was the boy's mother, there was a woman in the audience who banged her head against the desk in front of her. And afterwards, Mahzarin was saying that this woman came up to her and had a bruise on her forehead because she'd hit the table so hard. And she said, "I just can't believe that." She said, "Don't be hard on yourself." She said, "No, you don't understand. My mother is a surgeon too." And she hadn't put that together. Now, this idea, Mahzarin Banaji, she has a book about this, and it's called Blind Spot. And the subtitle, I think, accurately covers this, and the subtitle says, Hidden Biases of Good People. And part of it, as we get into this, I want you to understand that what we're talking about this morning is, and for the next couple of weeks, is not for the purpose of making you feel guilty. So you can put that aside right now. Now, there may be times when maybe some guilt's appropriate, maybe not. It depends on how we've acted upon these implicit biases. But the purpose is not guilt. And Mahzarin would even say that the purpose of understanding implicit bias is to move from the realm of guilt to healthy transformation. Because if we break it down, implicit means hidden or not in the forefront. An explicit bias would be overt racism. Explicit would be, we're not going to make any bones about it. This is what I think, and I'm going to tell you. Implicit is kind of an unconscious thought. And these are thoughts that are formed over our lifetime, from the time that we're a child. And a bias, well, a bias is quite simply a preference for one thing over another. So if you ask me if I prefer cheese pizza or the works, my bias is for the works. I prefer pizza with the works on it over cheese pizza. There's no value judgment on that. Preferences are preferences. But an implicit bias is one where there's a preference that we have that has been ingrained in us that we don't consciously think about. Now, in our scripture text this morning, you've probably heard this parable of the Good Samaritan many times, but we're going to look at it a little bit differently this morning, because in this story, Jesus, even though nobody in his day probably was aware of this term, implicit bias, Jesus understood human nature. And he used what were essentially the implicit bias of his audience to make his point and to turn upside down their expectations. And he tells the story of a man who's beaten and robbed and bleeding on the side of the road. And he tells us of these people that come along. The first one comes along as a priest on his way to the temple. Well, the implicit bias of his audience would have been, well, a priest is a good person. They're going to help the man. And then Jesus says, nope, the priest just keeps on going because he has other things that he needs to do. Well, next comes along a Levite, an expert in the law, and another official in the Jewish church, or in Jewish religion. And he comes along. Well, he's got to be a good man too, right? But nope, he goes on past. Well, by now the audience is thinking, yeah, who's going to stop and help this guy? And Jesus brings up another one. He says, along comes a Samaritan. Now, for Jesus' Jewish audience, Samaritans were the ones the jokes were told about at the water cooler. For all of the jokes about people that live south of the Ohio River, all of the jokes about people from Poland, all of the whatever stereotypes and jokes you've encountered, the Samaritans would have been the butt of those jokes to Jesus' audience. They did not think highly of them, because the Samaritans, for one, were the people who were left behind when the rest of Israel went into exile. And they took the best and the brightest to Babylon, to captivity, and they left the common, ordinary, lowly people behind. So the Samaritans descended from the people that got left behind, and when they got left behind, they kind of intermarried with the other religions around there. So they still had some Jewish heritage, they still followed some of those things, but they'd adopted some of those other customs and traditions. And so they were really looked down upon. And Jesus says, along comes this Samaritan man. You probably could have seen people cringe, a sneer on their face when he mentions the name Samaritan. Because when people traveled from one end of Israel to the other, they would even cross across the Jordan River so they didn't have to set foot on Samaritan land and then come back across the river to where they were going. And Jesus says, and the Samaritan stopped. Whoa, wait, what? Why? Of everybody you've just mentioned, he's the one that stops? Jesus is playing into that implicit bias that they have. Now, some of you have maybe heard, and this comes back, I think, from the early 80s, but the Cotton Patch Gospel, and they had a series of stage shows where they would kind of modernize some of these stories, and they have a version of the Good Samaritan story that they retell. But if we were going to put this story in our modern-day context, I'm going to offer some suggestions. Person's riding their motorcycle along and it breaks down. They're stranded along the side of the road. Group of high school football players wearing their letterman jackets see this person alongside of the road. And they're out to have a good time, so they stop and they think, yeah, we're going to rough this person up a little bit. Well, things get out of hand and the motorcyclist gets beaten and robbed. And these star athletes jump in their car and take off. Well, along comes local pastor and sees this person laying along the side of the road. Pastor looks at a watch and says, I don't have time, but thank you, Lord, that we have first responders who have been put in place to deal with situations like this. I pray, Lord, you'll bring one along to help this person soon. And the pastor goes on. And along comes a nurse who's just finished a shift at the hospital and sees this person beaten and bloodied laying along the side of the road. And this nurse thinks, you know, we just had that in-service about hepatitis and I don't have any gloves with me in my car. probably not a safe thing for me to stop. And the nurse keeps going. And along comes a undocumented Mexican migrant worker who pulls over, picks this person up, loads him in the front seat of his pickup truck, and drives him to the hospital. We all have unconscious or implicit biases that come to mind in the listening of this story. As I told that story, I just mentioned a motorcyclist. In your mind, was it a man or a woman? A man. Were they on a Harley like Jim Puckett? Or were they on a crotch rocket like you see zipping up and down the highway? Our implicit bias starts to fill in some of the details of the story. When I mention young athletes wearing their letter jackets, I said football players. But again, what did they look like in your mind? I mention a pastor. Once again, was it a man or a woman? What ethnicity were they? Our mind fills these gaps in for us. And even the nurse. Again, male, female, white, black, Asian, Hispanic. And there are so many unlikely players that we could put in to who we would least likely think to be the person to stop. I picked one that is one that has been all across the headlines for us. Mahzarin Banaji, when she talks about implicit bias, one of the things she began her presentation talking about was that the human brain is a difference-detecting machine. And she said, this is part of our makeup, this is part of who we are. And our brains are difference-detecting machines because to be able to handle and process and store all of this information that we take in, our brain does some automatic sorting for us. And so it puts things in one category or another and helps us to kind of file and organize those things. And these implicit biases are things that we experience growing up. They're things that we experience from the influence of our parents, of the people around us, of the culture that we're a part of. And so they're there. And they're tracks that run in the back of our minds. And so for Banaji, she would say that part of the way that we move forward is to begin to be aware of some of these things, to begin thinking about why do I think that? Why, when I heard Pastor Tom say a motorcyclist, did I assume it was a man? Why, when I heard that, you know, this was what this person was, why did I assume something about them without really knowing who they are? And she suggests that while these are ingrained, the only way we as individuals, and in turn we as a society, are going to change is by becoming a little bit aware of these and thinking about where do I need to begin changing? Where do I need to be open to something that's maybe different than what I'm just assuming that it is? And part of the question that she put before the audience that was listening, she said, she asked people, are you the very best you that you want to be? Well, her default was that most of us should honestly probably say, no, we're not. So we want to be better. We want to do better. These implicit biases, while they're there, if we don't think about them, we'll never change them. But by thinking about them, we can begin to be opened up to a greater possibility of what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. In that opening story I told about that riddle of the child and the father being killed and why couldn't the surgeon operate, we're moving into an era where the common assumption isn't that, well, it's a physician, it's a surgeon, so it must be a man. Culturally, if you go back a few decades, that would have been a pretty standard assumption. I think that we're starting to move forward where some of those normative roles we're not assuming or taking for granted as we once did. And I think most of us would agree that equal opportunities for people of all male, female, all ethnicities, everybody should have those fair opportunities. But these implicit biases sometimes push us back to old patterns, old roles. But again, the purpose isn't for us to feel guilty. The purpose is to be aware. As I reflect on my childhood, I grew up in a community. The junior senior high that I went to had about 600 students in it. And of those 600 students, there were probably three that were not white. That was the culture that I grew up in. And I remember sitting around and being in junior high and listening to friends tell racist jokes and laughing along with them. And as a child, that's an implicit bias that begins to be ingrained. Because by hearing those things around us, we file those away as normal and acceptable. And hopefully at some point we begin to realize that they're not. Hopefully we begin to realize that there is a bigger world out there, that there are other ways of thinking and being and doing. To change our implicit biases for something that's unconscious, I would compare these implicit biases to breathing. That as long as you're not thinking about it, that implicit bias track is going to be the one that plays. And you have to stop and consciously think about it and say, wait a minute, why did I react the way that I did? Why did I think or feel or assume that about this person? Likewise with our breathing. If you stop and think about it, you can hold your breath. If you think about it, you can breathe shallower. If you think about it, you can breathe deeper. You can breathe faster or slower. You can control your breathing when you're consciously thinking about it. But thank God that when we're not thinking about it, it still happens. It's a good thing. Those implicit biases are kind of like our breathing in that sense. That unless we're consciously thinking about it, those preformed ideas are the ones that are going to determine what we think about other people. It wasn't Jesus' express purpose in telling this parable. He was using this tendency we have to judge and categorize people and to turn that upside down. But sometimes that turning upside down is exactly what we need to have our eyes opened and to begin to see others and this world around us the way that Jesus did. May God open our eyes and help us see past those preconceived ideas and to see people for who they truly are. Amen.